Today we're looking at the book of Revelation again. I want to remind you of one thing, and especially if you haven't been here before, I want to let you know. I see the book of Revelation as a great book of encouragement. It is not a book of doom and gloom if you don't get your life right. That's not the reason that John wrote this. John wrote this to bring encouragement to the believers. The believers were undergoing persecution, and God brought this message through John to let people know that there is encouragement and that God has power and that God is the one who wins out, not everything else, the chaos and the evil. So please remember, this is a book of encouragement. It is not a book of get your life right or else, okay? That's not the purpose of this book. Today we'll be reading the last words of this book, starting in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. These are Jesus' words here at the beginning. "Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Outside are the dogs, those who practice magic arts, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in the scroll. And if anyone takes words away from this scroll of prophecy, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in the scroll. He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." There is no doubt throughout all of Scripture, Jesus Christ is coming back again. There is no doubt. That is going to happen. Now, I'm not one that uses the book of Revelation to prove when it's going to happen, because I know what Jesus said. He said what? Even I don't know when it's going to happen. Only the Father does. And all throughout all of Scripture, when somebody tells you this is when it's going to happen, you know immediately they're a false prophet. You know it immediately. Everybody who has predicted a date has been wrong. And many of them predict a new date when the first date doesn't work. And then they predict another new date, and another new date, and another new date, until they finally give up. We do not know when it's going to happen. But what we do know is that Jesus is coming back to reward folks for what they've done. Amen. He says that very clearly in the Scripture. He is coming back to reward folks for what they have done, not where they have sat, not what they believe about. And I'm going to make a distinction about believe here in a minute, so hold on to that. It's not about what they've believed. It's not about where they've sat. Because Jesus even says many will come at that time and they will say, but Lord, Lord, didn't we do this for you? And Jesus will look at them and say, I don't know who you are. That's scary. That is scary. How can I find these as words of encouragement? Because he gives us an understanding of what needs to be done. To receive this reward when he comes, you need to repent, believe, and obey. Now, repent means that you recognize what sin is and that you agree with God that this thing that God calls sin is sin. It doesn't mean that you go, well, you know, it's not really, it's just a little white lie. It's a lie. And a lie is sin. It doesn't matter what color you want to make it. If you make it rainbow, if you make it tie-dye, if you make it my favorite color, anybody know my favorite color? Paisley is my favorite color. For those of you that don't know what color paisley is, I would encourage you to look that up later today. That's my favorite color. If you ask me what my favorite color is, that's what I'll tell you. It doesn't matter. A lie is a lie. A sin is a sin. A sin separates us from God. To repent means to turn completely away from that thing and walk the opposite direction. It doesn't mean look at it and say, oh, I feel sorry that I did that. That's not what it means. And sometimes as we think, that's what repent means. Repent means that I feel sorry that I participated. I feel sorry that I did that. Emotionally, I feel down and I wish I had done better. Repent actually means to turn away from what causes you to walk down that road and walk the other direction. That's what repent actually means in the Greek. The word is metanoia. And it means to turn away from, to choose to walk in a different direction, to not go there where the temptation is because you know you will fall. You turn away from it and you walk another direction. Some of you know my history and you know that I had problems and that my life before becoming a Christian was not an example of anything in Scripture but all the bad. And there were some places that when I came to Christ that I had to turn away from. And I had to choose to walk away from it and walk another direction. Those people that I thought were my friends were not. They were people that were participating in the same sins that I was participating in. And we found some kind of common bond there. Not a good bond, by the way. I had to turn away from that. I had to not show up at some places. I had to make a decision that I was going to do that. That's what repent means. It means I change my mind. It means I walk a different way. That's repent. The next thing that you need to do is you need to believe. And believe does not mean that I acknowledge. Most people in the world take that word and they defined it as I acknowledge. I acknowledge that there is a God. I acknowledge that these facts are true. Believe means that I'm going to trust in, I'm going to adhere to, I'm going to stay close to God, and I'm going to walk as close to God as I can. Notice what Jesus says, though, here. I want to read that piece for you again. He says this, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each poor person according to what they have done. This is not salvation by works. not salvation by works. But when you believe, when you adhere to, when you recognize who God is and you trust in God, you move from that place that was causing you problems and you put your feet in action to go to a place where you can support now what you believe, what you can be part of, and you make a commitment to it. And to follow right along with this is obey. That means that I look at God's scripture, the very message of God to us. I look at this word, and what do I need to do? Well, it tells me to stay away from sinful areas. It tells me to help those less fortunate, whether I like them or not. Matter of fact, it tells me that I should love them, irregardless of who they are, where they come from, what they've done, what they participate in, and what they decide to do every day. Jesus says, I want you to love them as I have loved you. Love is not just a feeling. Love is not just a feeling. Love is an action. Love is something that does something for someone else without expecting anything in return. Love is vacuuming the floors in your house even though you hate doing it. Yes, that's me. I hate it. We moved here. Deanne said, can you help out by vacuuming the floors? Did it yesterday. Despise it. Hate it. But why do I do it? Because I love her. And I care for her. She does a lot of things for me that I know she despises and doesn't like doing. I think she's not a big fan of doing laundry. She's not in here, so I can't ask her. I know I did it right once, and she has never let me do it again. And for those of you that don't know how to get it right, it's all white things, hot water, one cup of bleach, one red thing, and you will never be asked to do the laundry again. That's how you get it right. Yeah, bless him, Lord. He don't know what he's saying. She's not in here, so don't report on me, okay? No, she knows I say that all the time. Repent, believe, and obey. Now, it's real easy for us to use the last words of the scripture against other people. Real easy. But I want you to listen to it a different way. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this scroll, if anyone adds to them what should be done in a godly life, God will add to that person the plagues described in this scroll. We had a whole section in Jesus' time called the Pharisees that added so many things. Now listen to the next part. And if anyone takes away from this scroll of prophecy by not obeying what is written here, God will take away from that person any share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this scroll. Do we have anybody here that has successfully followed every commandment of God? I have taken away from the scroll of God at times because I've decided I'm not going to follow that. I'm not going to do that. That's not me. That's not who I am. That's too hard to do. That's too difficult. That would mean I would lose face. Isn't that taking away from the Word of God? By saying, I don't need to follow that part. That part was for a different age, a different people, a different location in the world. Is that not taking away from God's word? I don't need to follow that part. You see, to receive a reward, you need to repent, believe, and obey. And if you're like me, repent happens quite a bit. Because as I grow in my faith, I realize that I have been doing things wrong. And I need to come to God and recognize, God, this is sin. You said it was sin in your word, and I need to recognize that, and I'm going to turn away from it now. It's a growing process, and God has grace for that growing process. Now, part of the reward that Jesus talks about here is eternal life and living within God's presence, face to face. I can't imagine what that'll be like. Can't even begin to imagine. I know that right now I'm living in God's presence. Every day. No matter where I am, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I'm saying, God is right there. No matter what I'm thinking, God is right there listening to every bit of it. Scripture says that God knows the word before it forms on our tongues. Think about that when sometimes you're poked to say something you know you probably shouldn't say. God already knew you were going to say it before you said it. And God is present when you do say it. Part of the reward is eternal life. That's why I've told you, I have a hard time for people to say, when they say to me, how are you doing today? Well, at least I'm on this side of the dirt. Well, on the other side of the dirt, I get to live forever. On the other side of the dirt, I get to live in God's kingdom forever, in God's presence. That's what's so encouraging about this word. It's not, I die, you put me in the grave, and it's all over. And it's not that living here is better than living there. Amen? I mean, do you not read what it says? It says that it is better there. There's no crying. There's no pain. There's no suffering. There's no dying. That sounds like a better place to me. Does it not to you? It says the streets are made of gold and there's gems everywhere. I haven't seen a gold-plated even street in any town I've ever been in any place I've ever been. You know, we need to see these words as encouraging. These words as encouragement for living the Christian life. If I live the Christian life the way that God wants me to, not just a belief in my head, but actions with my feet and my hands, look at what's going to happen. Jesus will come back, and I will go to live with him for all eternity, and I will be allowed to eat from the tree of life. Why were Adam and Eve put out of the Garden of Eden? Because they ate from the tree of life. No, because they ate from the tree of knowing good from bad, right? We will be invited back in to that paradise and allowed to eat from the tree of life. Once Adam and Eve had eaten from that tree of knowing the difference between good and bad, God put them out of the garden so that they wouldn't eat from the tree of life and be in that condition forever. That's why they were put out of the Garden of Eden. It was a move of grace, not a move of punishment. It was a move of grace. Now you live a life that knows all about the good and evil, and I don't want you to live that way forever. God had a different plan. Now I get to eat from the tree of life. What an incredible thing. And you know, part of his message, Jesus' message, is how to sustain ourselves on this journey. And I talked about this in a previous sermon where the same words were there, the same phrases were there. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. Are you drinking those waters now? It doesn't say wait for eternity to drink those waters. Are you drinking from them now? Are you being present to God in the midst of everything that you do and drinking from those waters? Those waters that sometimes so much bubble up and we try to contain them, because look at what I found. I found a great fountain. I found a great water of life, and you cannot do that. Water that's not allowed to move becomes what? Stagnant. And for many Christians, they gathered up some water early on in their Christian life, and they've been holding on to a barrel full of it their whole life, and they continue to drink from stagnant waters. And they wonder why they're not learning more about God. Because you're drinking stagnant water. Living water, moving water, continuously flowing. Is that kind of love from God flowing into you and flowing through you? So many of us are a product of the Great Depression. And during the Great Depression, people saved everything you could possibly save because I might need it someday. Now, as I look around, I see people smiling. I see people looking at each other. Are you saving everything in case you might need it someday? By the way, I know how that works. Until you throw it away, you won't find out what you need it for. As long as you hold on to it, you'll never need it again. Am I right? Is your tool shed, your garage, and your basement full of things you can't figure out how to reuse? Throw them away tomorrow, and I bet you'll figure out this week what you needed them for. Folks, spiritually, are you living on stagnant water? Because if you are, it's not going to get any better. Are you deepening your relationship with God now? By the way, in John chapter 17, verse 3, Jesus says these words. He says, eternal life is knowing the Father now. You know what? We can live eternal life now. We don't have to wait to walk through the doors of death. We can live eternal life now. That's drinking these waters. When Jesus comes, will he find you doing the life he expects? Will Jesus find you doing the life he expects? I know you might want to reword that to say living the life, but I specifically put the word doing in there because are you active about it? Not just sitting somewhere and saying, yes, I believe. Are you active about it? Are you getting your hands and your feet dirty in ministry? Are you helping those that are not, that for one reason or another, even if it's only by, if it's by their own choice only, that they live in such a bad condition? Are you trying to help them? That's what God calls us to do. So when Jesus comes, will he find you doing the life he expects? Because his words say here, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. Not what facts they believe, but what they've done. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you because we need you. We come to you because we need to get our thoughts straight. We come to you because we need to know what sin is so that we can repent of it and move away from it. Because Scripture tells us again and again that sin separates us from you. And Lord, we're here today because we want to know you better. We want to live with you better. We want to experience you more. So Lord, help us to agree with you and to be about doing the life that you have for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.